Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Ich warte seit Wochen auf diesen Tag und tanz vor Freude über den Asphalt, als wär's ein Rhythmus, als gäb's ein Lied, das mich immer weiter durch die Straßen zieht. Komm dir entgegen.
Hello and welcome to Gegenpressing. I'm your host Manuel Feit, and no Stefan Biankowski today. He's busy. Looking at properties. That was the word. He's going to explain to me what exactly he's looking at when we meet in Hamburg. Don't worry, there's going to be an episode with Stefan this week. But to fill in for Stefan, I recruited a very, very, very special person, someone who can shed some light on this whole Robert Lewandowski saga at Bayern Munich. I want to introduce Pavel Vilkovic. Pavel!
Hello.
So good to speak to you. We haven't spoken in, I feel like, forever.
We used to speak a lot about some Russian football, Ukrainian football.
Yeah.
Lewandowski, finally.
Yeah, we finally get to talk about Lewandowski. Those who don't know you, Pavel, who are you? What do you do? And why are you a specialist to talk about Lewandowski?
Yeah. Maybe it's better to say I used to be more of a specialist in Robert situations and career, because we wrote a book together, his official biography, some years ago. Then it was updated. I was then working for a Sport PL website. Now I'm at Viaplay, so a broadcaster of Bundesliga in Poland. And, you know, situation of Robert and Bayern and his plans are also affecting our situation. So we follow it closely. Last Saturday, he told us after the game in Wolfsburg that it might have been his last game for Bayern. So the news, as you know, traveled around the world and was a big news for us especially. That's it for introduction, I think. So I'm now an editor-in-chief of Polish Viaplay. We now have Bundesliga as our main dish. From this summer on, it will be accompanied by Premier League. We also have European Cups. So getting more and more to present.
Perfect. And we'll talk about Lewandowski right after this break. This episode of the Gegenpressing podcast is brought to you by BetOnline. Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all of the latest sports developments, including updated odds on the NBA and NHL playoffs, Major League Baseball, fights, and even next season's NFL futures. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering needs, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casino and poker games. It's super easy to get started, so head to the website today or use your mobile device to join and use our promo code BELIEVE, that is BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right. So, yeah, the news. I mean,
Pavel, this is not the first time that we had this discussion with Lewandowski and him wanting to leave. In fact, I think the last time we've actually met, this was in Sochi. I think it was after the quarterfinals of the World Cup. And we had this in private, of course. Back then, you know, this Bundesliga podcast already existed, but it wasn't as big or as it is today. And I think Lewandowski wasn't quite as big of a topic because this was during the World Cup and this Gegenpressing podcast took a break. But the two of us had a chat, I think not far away from where Russia doped all its athletes. And you were saying to me then that Lewandowski already wanted out, right? This was 4 years ago. And then, of course, the story was that he would extend his contract after all. He did then would end up winning the Champions League as well 2 years later amidst the pandemic. Because I think that was his aspiration at the time, that he wanted to go on and win the Champions League, right? But, you know, I think a lot of people in Germany, when this originally all surfaced, looked back at that original situation in 2018 and said, well, he's done this before. But why do you think this time is different?
I wonder if it's different. I think we are seeing the third chapter of this trilogy of transfer requests. That the first one was Borussia Dortmund 2013. Then it was, let's say, 2018, the first part of the year. And now we are into a third chapter. And they're all pretty similar. But if you were the one to go back to 2018, I think it's a good example because it was some sort of, let's say, existential crisis in the life of a footballer. So Robert, I think, thought that, as you said, if he wants to win the Champions League, he has to change the club. And he changed the manager not long before, and Pini Zahavi came to help him change the club. And as you remember, during the World Cup, probably it was a cold war with Bayern. Yep. But then he came back to the club and reconciled with the club, with Rummenigge, Hoeneß, with his teammates. Because also the atmosphere between him and teammates in the spring of 2018 was not exactly excellent. It was a strange time with Jupp Hoeneß, you know, and his rescue mission, and it was so under the pressure of time that actually they didn't have a chance to have a proper conversation with Hoeneß all along his stint. So. Not Hoeneß, but sorry, Henkes, Jupp Henkes.
Yep.
And Robert felt alienated at the club, I think. And he felt it's the right time to move. But as you know, they didn't let him go and offered him a new contract. And Niko Kovac, he started his Bayern career with actually reconciling Lewandowski with the club. Not many people still remember it because Kovac is, you know, perceived as a failure. But I think this emotional part was very important. I don't think Robert respect Niko Kovac very much as a football teacher and coach. But this human side of Kovac was very important. And he, from the very beginning, he told him, you're important to me. And this was also a time when he was promoted to a third captain. So this trio was formed of Neuer, Müller and Lewandowski. And I think Robert needed it a lot. And it was this moment when he forgot about leaving Bayern for La Liga. And we had it quiet until recently. And look, when Robert wants to leave, it's either Bayern, like in Borussia times, or Real. And then 2018, it was Real Madrid again. And now we are, it's all about Barcelona. But maybe Paris Saint-Germain will also come into contention, as Pini Zahavi has very good relations also with Paris Saint-Germain people. So I still don't know what to think about it. It very much resembles, for me, the spring of 2013 in Dortmund, when, you know, the, let's say, his transfer demands, he really expected to be let go to Bayern that summer, but because of Mario Götze and his release clause being activated not long before the Champions League final, Borussia took it really personal, if we can say so. And,
oh yeah, they definitely did. Muscat,
there is no way they would let him go. And he was so disappointed, because he thought he had his their word that they would let him go, but they decided otherwise. I don't know if you remember, but there was even in Der Spiegel there was a story about his then manager writing emails to Borussia that you are ruining his career, and we are not sure whether he's going to show up for the next training, and so on and so on. And it all ended with Borussia giving him a hefty pay rise, Robert staying for one more year, leaving transfer free for Bayern, and actually giving all his heart to Borussia still in this final season, and becoming a Bundesliga goal scorer for the first time in his career, in his farewell season to Borussia. So that's also something that you always have to have in mind, speaking about Lewandowski and his, let's say, club loyalty.
It's interesting. You mentioned a couple of things here that I find fascinating. The fact with Niko Kovac and the human aspect of it, right? And it almost feels like that. And we know the stories. We know the stories of Hasan Salihamidžić and what's going on with Bayern Munich. We know that they made a last-minute play to sign Erling Haaland, to hijack the deal that was agreed with Manchester City. And that obviously didn't work, because I think, you know, Erling Haaland has a very, very much a career plan set in motion, that he's going to Manchester City next and then probably to Real Madrid in a couple of years when that release clause is activated. But I feel like that one of the things that Lewandowski values the most is that he is appreciated at the club that he's at. And I think there was already kind of the discourse was already negative between Bayern and Lewandowski, right, over the last few weeks, months, maybe throughout this entire season, because Lewandowski wanted a certain amount of money and Bayern said, look, we only give players in that age category 1 year extensions, like we did. Look what we gave Manuel Neuer and Thomas Müller. This is what we will give you also. But I feel like, okay, he was already upset about that. But I almost feels like, Pavel, that what killed this relationship now, and I don't know if it's repairable or not, but what seemed to have killed it is the fact that Bayern negotiated with Haaland to replace Lewandowski and went behind his back almost to do so.
I think you sort of, you know, could have expected your club to approach you if you have scored so many goals for them. You've broken all the records, and you've been elected, FIFA's best player, and collected all these awards. Then you would at least, I think, expect that you will be approached first with contract renewal. I don't know how, you know, we had some, let's say the versions differ Robert says that there was no renewal offer.
Yeah, that's interesting. I find Oliver, that interesting.
Oliver Kahn said quite firmly that there was a transfer, there was a contract renewal offer, but it was turned away by the manager. So we will probably never know in details and for sure, but let's agree it was not a very, let's say, passionate way of persuading him to prolong the contract. And of course, he wants to protect his status. He knows his abilities and he knows what it means if his club tries to let's say convince Haaland, a young gun, to come. And I think he was right in taking it a bit as a bit of an offense. At the same time, I think it's more complicated and it has to do with this vacuum that was left at Bayern when first Hansi Flick, then Uli Hoeneß, Karl-Heinz Rummenigge left. And everybody is now on a crash course of something in Bayern leadership circles. Whether it's Julian Nagelsmann or Oliver Kahn or Hasan Salihamidžić, they are still learning. And I think for Robert, it's difficult to find a sense of footballing life after Hansi Flick. He was his dream coach. He made his team come true. Mm-hmm. So without leaving Bayern, Robert won the Champions League and like became this symbol of goal scoring in recent years. And I've told you already that he maybe didn't respect Niko Kovac that much as a football teacher, but he Hansi Flick, he found the whole package. So yeah, the human side, this coaching side, and he also respected very much the staff. Even the analyst that came with Flick and is now went with him to DFB. I forgot the name, Röhr, maybe? Mm-hmm. The guy from Southampton.
Yeah, that sounds recruited right.
From Ralf Hasenhüttl stuff. Because Robert, at some point at Bayern, this 2018, let's say, alienation was then Niko Kovac's arrival helped a lot. But then also it was Bayern invested very much in their stuff. So the moment when Hansi Flick came and also Mr. Röhr, and Robert felt like he found allies in the stuff, and he was, very enthusiastic about individual trainings with Flick, and with observations of Röhr, even before Flick became a head coach. And then with him as a head coach, he got the wings and fly. I think he misses it now. This feeling of going up and up and up. If you follow his career and this sentimental part of his career, you sure observe that he never kisses the badge. He never tells the fans that he loves the club. He didn't love, I think, any single club in his career. He is a career guy. He gives it all, but the love, this word is, for family, for his wife and daughters, not for football. And he doesn't also make friends in football. He makes progress. It's all about making progress, not making friends. And I would call his career a business of scoring goals and making progress. And without this, it's difficult to understand him, because he has this very sensitive human side, but he doesn't let it steer him in football. He once told me that why he never kisses the club's badges, because you can kiss it for like 5 years, 10 years, and then you get old, and any club in the world will kick you in the ass because you're too old. And I said, like, it was a time when Kuba Błaszczykowski was released, well, let's call it sent away to Fiorentina by, I think it was Thomas Tuchel,
yeah,
at Borussia, yeah. And Robert told me something like, look, Kuba was always very passionate. He was, you know, fans loved him, and maybe it's the proper way, but still it didn't prevented him from being kicked in the ass by Borussia when he was no longer, you know, indispensable there. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to kiss the badge because I know that at the end, the club will still send you away.
And Bayern, are definitely, you know, Bayern are definitely known for that. Look at what they did to Mandzukic and Mario Gomez when they ended up getting Lewandowski.
You know? Actually, the cycle of life of a central forward at Bayern is quite short.
Yeah, it usually is.
Broke the rule, yeah. You know. Whether it was Elber or even Klose, or you mentioned
Luca Toni, 2 years he was a world star, and then he didn't produce 1 year, and it was goodbye.
Recycled.
Yeah, and it goes really quickly in Bayern, and that's it. I think Lewandowski has probably been, well, he's like Gerd Müller, isn't he? He's the only one that comes to manage to have that kind of life cycle, other than Lewandowski. I find a lot of the things that you mentioned totally fascinating. And one thing that really stood out to me was you mentioned this human side. And Nagelsmann, now I've met and spoken to Nagelsmann at press conferences, and he is cutthroat sometimes. And there was an interview in a Polish newspaper or outlet, I can't remember which it was, but where Lewandowski then said to Nagelsmann those words were wrongly translated into German afterwards. You can correct me or not if I'm wrong, but what I was getting at is Nagelsmann then spent the entire press conference on Friday. Apparently he did not like what he heard, translation mistake or not, and he went through the data and he found out that Bayern had, that Lewandowski only received about 5 less crosses when compared to Hansi Flick, Bayern Munich side the year before. Could it be that in Nagelsmann, he has a coach? Because I also know that there is in the upper, you know, among the lead players at Bayern Munich, there is a group of players who are not happy with how detail-oriented Nagelsmann is. And I suspect that Lewandowski is one of those players. Why is it that him and Nagelsmann don't click?
I think there was a lot of mutual interest in the beginning and enthusiasm, but I think it has a lot to do with status. Like we were, you know, talking about all these great central forwards that had, you know, this relatively short period of glory at Bayern, because, you know, being a center forward then is like being a king of a jungle. You have all the, you know, life is splendid but also very dangerous, and sooner or later, rather sooner, you pay the price. And he managed to survive so long because he also knows how to protect his status. So even, you know, take Pep Guardiola.
Yeah.
Never actually succeeded before in like domesticating a real center forward. True. And with Lewandowski, it succeeded. But also Thomas Müller was a key. And Guardiola needed a lot of time to really, you know, come to terms with actually pairing Müller with Lewandowski and making them this this duo, like a central point of attack. He tried with Robben, he tried with Götze,
yeah.
And but it didn't work that well as with Müller and Lewandowski. Mm. And now let's go forward to Flick times. It was all about Müller and Lewandowski again. And for, I don't know why, for some reasons, Robert just doesn't click and go or get along that well with any other offensive player than Thomas Müller. And if I were to name one player that maybe changed the balance a little bit was Leroy Sané. Mm. And when Nagelsmann was trying to like revive his career and make Leroy Sané great again, he had to sacrifice Lewandowski to some extent, because they are so, like, you know, it's like with Robben a little bit. They always competed for you know, goal scoring opportunities. It's Leroy Sané is brilliant and is you know, was obvious that it's a good investment for Nagelsmann to revive his career, but it also meant that Lewandowski will be a little bit, I don't know the word, maybe marginalized a little bit in offensive department. And we saw it for in many years, in many matches this season, even, you know, with Sané being great or Sané being average again, that this Bayern's attacking concepts were not always in favor of Lewandowski.
Müller, of course. Yeah. Müller is also an interesting one that you mentioned, Thomas Müller, because I always think of Thomas Müller as the kingmaker at Bayern. And I mean the head coach. If any head coach who threatens Thomas Müller will be soon later gone. And the list of his victims is long. It includes people like
Nico Kovac,
Carlo Ancelotti.
Yeah.
King Carlo, who's just, everyone is having high regard.
Even Guardiola.
Even Guardiola
tried to kill the king because he thought, you know, he is too chaotic and I don't like chaos in my offensive plans. But then he understood, you know, this chaos is crucial.
Yeah, if you want to succeed at Bayern, you have to be on Thomas Müller's side. And Thomas Müller did say a few things about Lewandowski during the Meisterfeier, the party celebrations. Yeah. And he did say that, well, and it sounded like it wasn't him speaking, it was the club speaking. It is quite clear that he is under contract until 2023. That means Bayern have everything in their hand. Now, Thomas seems to be quite clear about how this is going to go. Lewandowski.
Yeah, but he also said, like, listen, Bayern was a club that was winning a Champions League even before Lewandowski came. That was quite powerful, you know.
It's true, he did say that as well. I mean, Thomas is, I actually believe he will be the president or sporting director of Bayern Munich. He probably already is, we just don't know it. But I do find this all interesting, because is Bayern, I mean, Dortmund did it. They were able to hang on to him for a year, even though it was quite clear that he was going to leave. But Bayern Munich, will they do the same thing? And can they, because it is already quite a lot of things are kind of in upheaval there at the moment. And you look at Borussia Dortmund and the things that they have been doing on the market already. I wonder if Bayern could even afford having Lewandowski for another year, A, financially, but B, is there a guarantee? I mean, you said he's all about the business of scoring goals, but he also knows he's 34 next year, this year. And his time of finding a top club, like, is Barcelona still going to be interested next year? I don't know, right? So maybe Lewandowski this time, because knowing that time is against him, do you think he is going to maybe push and actually be more aggressive about getting a move?
I think he is what he did, like, you know, to play the ball really hard with his interview in Wolfsburg was understandable way of improving his negotiating position. At the same time, I think he would be fine with both solutions. So he can move to Barcelona and have this, like, you know, a Polish striker in Barcelona is going to be huge hype. Mm. So, and it also, you know, he has this feeling he is a global star, but not marketing wise, sponsorship wise. If you go to China, you will see Neymar, Messi. You won't see Lewandowski on big billboards. And that is something that, you know, it's really hard to break this barrier between a global star on the pitch, a global star in marketing department. And for some reason, he wasn't able to break this barrier.
Why do you think that is? I don't think it's because he's at Bayern. There must be other reasons as well.
I don't know. He once said when we were writing the book that somebody said about him, like, if you're Argentinian or Brazilian, you enter football world with exclamation mark over your head. If you're Polish, you come with a question mark. And it says a lot, you know. The global appeal is certainly bigger if you come from Santos or Rosario and from Warsaw. And I think it's a part of the thing. But also, you know, he entered this main stage when it was already cemented by Cristiano Ronaldo and Messi and then Neymar.
Yeah.
But now if you have Mbappé, like, doing it, and Robert, although he, you know, broke so many records, is still, like, let's say, still can't go up to this global status when it comes to marketing deals, sponsorship deals, then it says something, you know. And I think that's one dream that will never be fulfilled for him. But going to Barca, to Real Madrid, will be a chance to test it, to finally have a proof that maybe it was all about Bayern, not Robert.
I personally don't think that's the case, because, you know, Barcelona, I don't know. Real Madrid is a different story altogether. You see what's going on with Benzema at the moment and the global appeal that he's receiving for being in this Real Madrid side. But Barcelona, the stories have been so negative.
Yeah, but take Messi at Paris Saint-Germain and Ballon d'Or for Copa America. Okay.
Yeah, but that's because he's Messi.
Yeah, but it's okay. But we were told it's about because Copa America.
Yeah, no, but that's, I'm sorry, that's nonsense. It was all about him being Messi. And I actually do agree with you. I think you have a huge bonus in life if your last name is English or Spanish or Portuguese. German players have the exact same problem, right? How many times have German players won a major individual title just because they were German? And I think Eastern European players in general as well, they fall into that same category. It is.
Yeah, but look, even, you know, but also Bayern versus Real and Barcelona, like Bayern winning a triple 2013 and was Manuel Neuer was third or Frank Ribery, I don't remember.
Neuer won a World Cup and didn't get it.
Yeah, and and so you see how, you know, this, let's say, marketing and popularity hierarchy played, it can be frustrating for a player. Like, And I can understand it. And it's not about, you know, judging, like, if it's good or bad that Messi is. I think, you know, the magic of his name is working miracles still, even if in, let's say, autumn of his career. But if you're Lewandowski and you have only one career, it's normal that you feel frustrated that you've done so much and you still, you know, watch the other guy taking Ballon d'Or with him. And one thing, you know, Oliver Kahn said that, you know, he won't buy this theatrics around what Robert said, and then it's all decided and basta. And I think he can also be relatively calm about it, because if you see at this farewell season at Borussia Dortmund, you get the proof that he can, and it's a fascinating trait of his career and of his personality, I mean Lewandowski, that he can really detach from all the discussions, quarrels, conflicts that are around him to just focus on delivering goals. Whether he loves the club or not, he just loves scoring so much that he will deliver. Maybe with national team it's a little bit different. This emotional part interferes more in his, like, you know, well-being of on the pitch. But for the club, he can like separate the conflicts with the presidents and even coaches from what he has to do on the pitch. But I think he just, that he's, he has his mission accomplished in Germany. He can't find incentive when Champions League football ends for him. Nothing is excited in this, you know, league finish for him. Even adding one more goal, two more goals. He has already beaten Gerd Müller's record.
Yeah.
And doing it in a single season, beating this feat will always be bigger than scoring more goals than Müller overall in the whole
career. I agree with that. I 100% agree with that.
And he's the guy that has to wake up every morning with a challenge.
Yeah.
He's that type of guy. Give him a challenge and he will be happy.
So,
and without challenge, he fades.
And that's a good question. And I personally think the way this is going to play out will very much depend on whether Bayern Munich can find a replacement this summer. And it also depends, of course, if Barcelona can find the money. I mean, this is, then we have to remember Barcelona are virtually bankrupt, for the lack of better term.
Yeah, but even if you touch the problem of, you know, the next, like, let's say, the transfer rumors that are appearing, and you hear about Sadio Mane. I love the player, but
not Lewandowski.
I mean, if you wait. If you're unwilling to invest real effort, you know, emotionally and financially in prolonging Lewandowski's contract, and at the same time you try to tempt Sadio Mane, how would you feel being Lewandowski?
Yeah, Mane, I mean, is an interesting story altogether, because he's the same agency as Serge Gnabry, right? And many people are saying he's the replacement for Serge Gnabry. And I find it interesting that this is done through the same agency as Gnabry's agency. I was told that Mane earns about 7 million at Liverpool. And Bayern Munich, of course, pay Kingsley Coman 17. So Bayern Munich have the financial power to actually outmuscle Liverpool. And Liverpool, of course, American-owned. We all know American owners turn every cent twice to see whether or not they can get a profit out of anything. So Bayern actually do have the bigger financial power than Liverpool to make a deal like that happen, which I find fascinating. But at the same time, you know, he's not going to be replacing Lewandowski. So you need to find a Lewandowski replacement. If you want to sell Lewandowski,
course,
you need...
Of course, not, you know, not in team's tactics.
No.
But as, let's say, your designated superstar in social media...
Yeah, but you need to score goals. You lose Lewandowski, you lose 35 to 40 goals a season.
Yeah, and for him, I think at this point of the career, it's really important, you know, what's the hierarchy in the team. Yeah. If Mané joins Bayern, he will have to compete for, you know, being number one as it comes to, you know, the status. Not, of course, not as number nine, but as the face of a team.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but I just don't see Sascha Kalajdzic replacing Lewandowski, you know. Mané or not, I love Kalajdzic, don't get me wrong, but I don't see him as a 35 goal scorer in this league. I just don't see it. With this all in mind, though, Pavel, because I've taken way too much of your time already.
And we still haven't told a word about, but you touched the problem of agents. And I think if Zahavi, for some reason, Bayern doesn't want to give any concession to Zahavi.
Because of Alaba.
Yeah, but it was the same. They weren't even willing to discuss about Alaba. Yeah. I don't know if it's personal, if it's, Hernes, Piranha, Zahavi thing.
I think it's the original contract negotiations they had between Lewandowski and Zahavi. Something happened there between the club and Zahavi. And that then affected them not being able to negotiate with Alaba. And now, of course, it's coming back again to Lewandowski. But it was the original. Something happened in the original contract negotiations between the club and Zahavi. Mm-hmm. And Uli Hoeneß, he's a very interesting figure in itself. We could probably do an entire podcast just on him. But I think if you were in his crosshairs, you stay there forever. And I think this is maybe also one of the aspects here, that they are not willing to give, even though it's Lewandowski, to give Zahavi something that they're not giving to any of the other. Because Bayern will say, we're giving you the same thing as we're giving Müller. We're giving you the same thing as we're giving Neuer. We're not going to give you, and especially your agent, something that we didn't give them. I think that's a big part of it.
Fair enough.
Right.
At the same time, I think you can't be a serial goal scorer without this egoistic trait, you know?
Yeah, 100%.
Extreme one. Yeah. So then I think for him, we are offering the same as to Thomas Müller. It's not really an explanation.
No, because he will think it's like I should be getting more as Thomas Müller.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, no, I understand that part, but I think that I don't disagree with him. I think I'm just trying to explain where Bayern Munich is coming from and their thinking. And we touched about this earlier. Thomas Müller is Bayern Munich. You know, he will be the next Uli Hoeneß, right?
I think both parts have, they have every right to demand what they demand.
Yeah.
And maybe this going transfer free next summer is quite a good option for both sides. As Rummenigge put it some time ago, he came here transfer free. If he leaves transfer free in 2023, after so many years of good service, do you think it's not a fair option? That's what he said, and I think it's a fair option actually.
And we have to add too, and that Lewandowski will be one of the few strikers in Bayern Munich history to leave on his own terms. That hasn't happened in a long time.
Oh no.
Right.
No, but if they demand he stays for one more year, then they will win this war.
Yeah.
So it will not be on his terms.
It's amazing that we're calling it a war now.
The Cold War. Yeah.
So with this in mind, and this is really now my final question: how do you think this is going to play out?
Some time ago, I had this, feeling it's going to end in leaving transfer free
yeah.
in a year. Now I'm not so sure. It was a bit of an escalation.
a little bit.
yeah. At the same time, does it change much? I mean, Khan was quite unequivocal. And I don't think Bayern Munich is that kind of a club that needs to improve bargaining position by saying bullshit. So if Khan said, we won't let him go, I think he didn't mean give us more money, maybe we will let him go. He just meant we won't let him go. Yeah. So that's my feeling now. But, you know, Khan is a new one here. So maybe, you know, the means have changed.
I personally think that Bayern Munich is still governed from the Tegernsee, Pavel. That's why Hassan will always be there because, you know, he is Uli's man.
Uli's man.
And I think I personally, this is a I grew up an 1860 fan, but Bayern Munich is the club that I understand way better and spend way more time covering.
Well, I lost
and,
you now.
Through many connections, also understand how it operates. And my feeling and understanding is that this club is still very much run from a little house on the Tegernsee.
Uli Hoeneß was the first one that knew that Lewandowski is a world-class Bayern Munich tier player. And he said, like, we will have all the money necessary to grab him from Borussia Dortmund. So, of course, if he's still ruling from the backseat, and he decides Robert fulfills his contract, it's also quite logical and maybe a good point in this career.
It's going to be so fascinating. As always, the show is brought to you by Bet Online. And Pavel, this was amazing. I really appreciate you taking this time. We planned 30 minutes. We're at 45. We have to have you back maybe once we have a conclusion. On this war, as you call it now.
We're journalists. We like to have colorful sentences, of course. Now we have a real war, so let's treat what I said with distance. Yep. I think they footballing wars are these wars that are not worth our attention that much.
No, it's just a game. It's intriguing. It keeps us all interested. And I think this one will keep lots of people interested for a lot of time. Listen, this has been great. We'll be back with our more regular show with Stefan as well later this week. We have a Europa League final to discuss and all sorts of news to discuss. Bundesliga clubs coming back, maybe going down. Lots and lots of this still happening, despite the fact that the season is over. So we'll be back soon. Until then, auf Wiedersehen.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, didn't see that coming, and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.